In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Epiphany reveals Jesus as God, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Christmas, the theme of Christmas is God is man. Epiphany flips it to say this man is God, and so we have the miracles of Christ very heavily presented in Epiphany. Epiphany is not about revealing us, but revealing Jesus. If we are revealed, it would be a sinful, fallen heart that still leads us into lust, greed, despair, another great shame and vice. So thanks be to God, Epiphany reveals Jesus. And you see that yet again on this, the last Sunday of Epiphany, in our Lord's transfiguration. His face shines. His clothing dazzles. This man is God himself, the eternal Word made flesh, God among man, so that he might now redeem man. And then Moses and Elijah appear. No Gabriel, but men. No songs in Bethlehem, but ancient prophets. They appear not to fall down and worship at Jesus' feet. They are there not to praise and thank him. They are not there to silently adore Christ. They are there to talk with him. The conversation of heaven is now seen on earth as the heavenly saints converse with him who is their God. St. Matthew does not record for us what that conversation was, but St. Luke does. He says they were talking about his exodus at Jerusalem. They are speaking about his death, his pain, his suffering, that he would soon become a worm and not a man, forsaken by God, despised by the people, rejected by the world, and lifted up on a tree. Nails and spear and thorns. This is the heavenly conversation centered on the crucifixion of Jesus, the Son of God. So this transfiguration reveals Jesus as God, yes. But more than that, it reveals that God is your Savior. He came down not so that you can silently stand in awe before him, but so that you might be redeemed by him. The story of the crucifixion does not bring Moses and Elijah sadness, but joy. This is the very reason why they are in heaven. His blood has redeemed them from this world. His blood has sanctified and made them holy. They love his cross, for by it their sins are removed. On earth they live by faith in the promise, now they live by sight, seeing things which men on earth do not see, and hearing songs that men on earth do not sing. Moses and Elijah represent the entire Old Testament. Do not think that the Old Testament is about Israel. Moses and Elijah's presence reveals it was about Jesus. Do not think that it was about lambs and Passovers and sacrifices and temples and altars. Moses and Elijah's presence reveal it was about Jesus. Do not think that it was about kings and prophets. Again, their presence reveals that it was about Jesus. The events in the Old Testament are real events that actually happened, and it's a joy to study and learn it. But all of those events were meant to lead to Jesus. More than that, all of those events actually reveal Jesus. So Moses and Elijah being present there are testifying to the unity of the Holy Scriptures. The old and the new have but one message: Jesus Christ and him crucified. As they speak about the death and resurrection of Christ and all that he will accomplish, Peter decides to interject. Who wouldn't want to be there in heavenly glory? Who wouldn't want to hear Moses and Elijah speaking? Who wouldn't want to glimpse Jesus transfigured? And yet St. Luke also adds the note that Peter did not know what he was saying. He spoke where it was improper. He should have listened to what the scriptures say. And so the Holy Spirit interrupts Peter by overshadowing them in a bright cloud. And the Father interrupts Peter by recounting those baptismal words once more. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen as he speaks of Passover and of blood and of the Exodus, not from Egypt, but from sin, death, and Satan. Listen as he speaks of pierced hands and a crowned head. Listen as he speaks of forgiveness and atonement and life and salvation. The baptismal promise is now coming to a fruition. The Father is well pleased that Jesus bears the sins of the world, and now shortly before his death, again the Father announces his pleasure. This is why he sent his Son, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all men. So Peter needs to be silent and to listen to the Old Testament scriptures that reveal Jesus as the Savior of the world. When the Father speaks, it is not Moses and Elijah who are afraid, but Peter, James, and John are afraid. Go back to Mount Sinai. There Moses was afraid with the rest of Israel as they heard the very voice of God speaking to them. Now again, when they hear the voice of God, these saints, these believers, are also afraid. They need a mediator. They need an intercessor. They need someone to offer a sacrifice to purge them from their sin and their guilt so they can hear the voice of God and live in his presence without fear. And so, Jesus reaches out and touches them. And he speaks his word to them. Now all fear is gone. They look up and they see only Jesus. He is the mediator. He is the intercessor. He is the one whose sacrifice will make them pleasing before God so they can live in his presence now and forever. They look up and they see Jesus and him only. The Father is not demanding focus or the center of attention, but he sends his Son. And the Spirit testifies of the Son. It all centers on Jesus. What they have heard, you also now hear. For you have not only the Old Testament testimony, not only the Old Testament scriptures, but you also have it more firmly confirmed with the New Testament scriptures. Under the new, the old is now revealed. You hear the story of Christ and you know his name. You know what he has accomplished. They wrote about the death and resurrection of Christ, thus they wrote about your salvation in Christ. And as you listen to that word, whether in this space or in your home or in your car or at work, wherever that word is read and studied, wherever that word is proclaimed, there the Holy Spirit comes in an unseen bright cloud to strengthen and quicken your faith, to take the gifts that Christ has won and to make them yours. And wherever that word is proclaimed, there the Father declares his pleasure with you. His beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. For it is faith that makes you a child of God. And all of you who are baptized into Christ are now clothed with Christ. Listen to the word of God. Listen as it proclaims Jesus, the very center of your life, the very center of the Scriptures. The theophany at baptism reveals what happens at your baptism. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present through water to save you. The theophany on this mountain of transfiguration reveals what happens whenever you hear the word of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present to save you through his word. Yes, you see Jesus shining as God. Yes, he is revealed as the eternal, omnipotent God. Yes, you also see a little glimpse of the heavenly glory that awaits you and all those who have faith. But do not overlook the conversation. Listen as the Scriptures tell you who your Savior is and why God came down to earth. Not so that you might serve him or worship him with your praise or your offerings or your gifts or your talents, but he came down so that he might shed blood to redeem and to make you his own. He is your mediator, your intercessor, the very sacrifice who died in your place. Only Jesus has accomplished that. The Father does not die for you, neither does the Spirit. Only Jesus dies for you so you can live before God with a pure conscience. No sin can condemn you. No devil can accuse you. Your own conscience can't even afflict you, because the blood of Christ is greater than all of these things. It is not simply a man who has gone to Calvary, but that is your God. That is the eternal God who sheds his eternal blood, who sheds his blood so that you might have life. You know the sins of Moses. He murdered a man. He struck a rock in anger. And yet now you see him standing in glory, holy and perfected, because of the blood of Christ alone. You also know the sins of Elijah. He ran away and wanted to quit his job as a prophet. And yet there he is in glory, saved by the blood of Christ alone. You also know Peter, James, and John, and you certainly know their faults, especially Peter's, and yet now they are with our Lord in glory, all saved by the blood of Christ. So listen to the word that proclaims Jesus and that salvation. Do not grow so bored and tired of it that you want to move on to something else. But hear the story of Calvary with eagerness and with thanksgiving. For there is nothing else that can get you from earth to heaven. There is no other mediator who can still all fear and make you God's children. So Epiphany reveals that this man is God. That man is God. But today is the last Sunday of Epiphany. Next week, the paraments will be violet, not white. The Alleluia and the Gloria in Excelsis will be removed. Soon there will be ashes and fasting. We are headed toward a cross. We are headed toward victory. But we are not sad. We meditate with sober and repentant hearts, but we are still joyful. We are not trying to skip over Good Friday to get to Easter. Good Friday is the day of victory, and it is proclaimed on Easter. This cross is our salvation. So let us listen to Moses and the prophets. Let us listen to Peter, James, and John. Let us listen to the Old Testament and the New Testament Scriptures, and in them hear the very voice of our God, who declares that we are his beloved, redeemed by the blood of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.